It's a little past midnight on Sunday morning, January 15th in Tuscaloosa, on the Strip, a popular area for nightlife near the University of Alabama. It's cold, temperatures barely in the 40s, so people are moving quickly as they leave the bars and clubs, when suddenly, gunshots ring out. A 23-year-old woman named Jamia Harris is killed as she sits in the front seat of a Jeep. Hours later, Darius Miles, at the time a member of the Alabama basketball team, and another man, Michael Davis, are charged with capital murder.
Alabama basketball player Darius Miles and another man have been charged with capital murder. This after a shooting near campus left a woman dead. Police say that it appears the shooting happened after an altercation between the suspects and the victims.
About 4 weeks later, at a preliminary hearing on February 21st, court testimony from a Tuscaloosa detective reveals that another Alabama basketball player, this time the team's star freshman, may have been involved as well.
Shocking development at Alabama. The leading scorer for the second-ranked Crimson Tide, Brandon Miller, a projected NBA lottery pick, allegedly provided the gun that was used in the January killing of a 23-year-old woman, according to law enforcement testimony today.
Over the past few months, ESPN has enlisted a team of reporters. Liz Merrill, Coley Harvey, Paula Levine, and our guest today, Michael Rothstein, to try to learn as much as possible about what happened on that January night. They did interviews, they went through video, they pored over court records and police reports. So I called Michael to see what they had found. So Michael, what was the goal of this team of reporters as you guys set out to report this story?
We set out to say, okay, what happened that night from the time the basketball game ended, and it was an afternoon game between Alabama and LSU, what happened from that point until Jamia Harris is shot and loses her life? And then, frankly, what happened after to really get us almost to present day?
What do you find?
We find that it is a complicated story, Sam. The story of Jamia Harris's death is also a story about what members of the Alabama men's basketball team were doing that night. What the acquaintances of Jamia Harris, her cousin, Asia Humphrey, her boyfriend, and the father of her child, Cedric Johnson, were doing that night. All leading up to a shooting and a group of events that took place largely, Sam, in 8 minutes, from essentially no contact, no confrontation, nothing, to a 23-year-old mother being killed.
Alabama is the top seed in the men's NCAA tournament for the first time in its history. But even as March Madness begins, a larger story with much more significant consequences is impossible to ignore. Former Crimson Tide player Darius Miles and his friend Michael Davis were officially indicted by a grand jury last week on capital murder charges for the shooting of Jamia Harris. Those indictments come just days before freshman star Brandon Miller leads Alabama in its first tournament game. And while prosecutors have been clear that Miller faces no criminal charges, controversy continues to swirl around what he did on the night in question. So today, a team of ESPN reporters digs deep into what we know and what we don't about 8 minutes in Tuscaloosa. I'm Sam Borden, in for Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, March 14th, and this is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Michael Rothstein, you've been on the ground in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, reporters talk all the time about a TikTok trying to get the details of what happened in a particular place at a particular time. And piece by piece, your reporting group has done it. You've put it together. So where does it begin on that night in Alabama?
Sam, begins a couple of places. For the Alabama basketball players that are involved, it starts at Coleman Coliseum with their typical pregame warm-up. They play and they throttle LSU.
It's a bucket towards the end to make it a 40-point margin. Largest margin of victory for Alabama in their SEC history.
For Jamia Harris, it starts in Birmingham, where she lives. She had had a really tough day. A friend of hers had died. She had gone to that funeral. She wanted to just have a night out. So she said, okay, I'm going to go to Tuscaloosa. Her cousin, Asia Humphrey, is a student there. So her and her boyfriend, as we mentioned, Cedric Johnson, decide to go down to Tuscaloosa to hang out with Asia Humphrey. And on the way down, Jamia Harris accidentally FaceTimes her mother, DeCarla Hurd. DeCarla Hurd is watching her five-year-old grandson, who is Jamia's son. His name is Kane. Kane comes over. He's dancing. He's having fun on the screen. They're laughing. Jamia yells as Kane's running away, I love you. And for DeCarla, that would have been the last time she talked with her daughter.
So Jamia is on her way from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa. Her son is at home with her mother. Where is Jamia headed? Where is she going?
So she is going to a place called The Strip, just off of the University of Alabama's campus. Picture it like this, Sam. You've been in college towns before. You know how like sometimes there's a normal downtown, like a bigger city, like an adult people downtown, and then a student downtown?
Yes.
Like a college bar area? The Strip in Tuscaloosa is very much the college downtown. And obviously with that, there are bars, nightclubs, and restaurants. And Jamia Harris, Asia Humphrey, and Cedric Johnson were all heading to a place called 1225, which is a bar, restaurant, sports bar on the Strip. It's fairly popular. That night, they were advertising two things. They were advertising watching NFL wildcard games, and they were advertising ladies' night.
These two groups, Michael, two groups of people, Jamia and her friends, and some Alabama basketball players, they eventually meet, right? So when does that happen?
Even that is a little bit complicated because the first time they technically meet, nothing happens at all. Both of them are in the queue, which is what they call in Tuscaloosa, the line, to get into this bar called 1225. Brandon Miller, Darius Miles, Jaden Bradley, those are the Alabama basketball players. They arrive around 11:30. And then soon after, Jamia Harris, Cedric Johnson, and Asia Humphrey end up in the same line. Their groups were right next to each other. And even inadvertently, it appeared Asia Humphrey had actually like bumped into Jaden Bradley, as one does when you're in a crowded line and you don't think anything of it. It's a light thing. You're like, okay, you know, someone just moved or whatever. So there was no interaction, no acknowledgement from either side, but they actually had that small level of contact. By midnight, when they're getting close to getting in, Brandon Miller has left. He decided the line was too long and he went to another restaurant, according to his attorney, Jim Standridge. And at 12:08 a.m., Darius Miles and Jaden Bradley enter 1225, and among the people they see is Darius Miles' friend, Michael Davis, he's jumping up and down to get their attention. He's already been in 1225. About 6 or so minutes later, Jamia Harris, Cedric Johnson, Asia Humphrey all enter the same bar. Police and Asia Humphrey said in testimony at that February 21st preliminary hearing that in their entire time at 1225, neither side had any interaction with the other.
So we know, according to police, that these two groups of people didn't have any interaction inside the club, but we also know that they definitely had interaction outside the club. So what happened when everybody left the club?
So this is going to be a little bit tricky. We recognize there are a lot of people involved and a lot of names. So going to do our best here to try and distill this for you as easily as we can.
Okay.
So a little bit after 1 a.m., Harris and her friends, meaning Jamia Harris, they leave the bar. They're hanging out outside the bar for a little bit, and then they decide to go across the street to a place called Quick Grill, best known for its $8 messy fries. At that point, that group splinters off. Asia Humphrey, who is Jamia Harris's cousin, and Jamia Harris go and get her black Jeep. Cedric Johnson, who's Jamia Harris's boyfriend, and some of Cedric Johnson's friends stay to get the food. Jamia Harris, Asia Humphrey, they go get the Jeep. They are sitting there at the corner waiting for Cedric Johnson to get food. Cedric Johnson comes. They're in the black Jeep. Cedric Johnson is in the back seat. Asia Humphrey is in the front seat. Jamia is in the front passenger seat.
Okay, so we have Asia Humphrey driving, Jamia Harris in the passenger seat next to her, and Cedric Johnson in the back. But what about the Alabama basketball players and their friend Michael Davis? Where are they?
At 1:36, Darius Miles, he is a basketball player. Jaden Bradley, another basketball player. And Michael Davis, who is, if you remember, the guy jumping up and down in the club, he is with them now as well. And it is important to understand this. He eventually tells investigators that he was drunk off tequila at that point in time. This is where more confusion comes, because a lot of it comes from testimony. Davis stops and starts dancing in front of the Jeep. Cedric Johnson sees this from the Jeep. According to the testimony, Cedric Johnson says that while Davis was dancing next to the car, he told Davis to move along. Johnson also said that Davis responded, "Well, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I do to you." Asia Humphrey testified she heard Cedric Johnson say, "Brother, why don't you be good?" And the only thing that Asia Humphrey said that she heard Davis say was, "I don't want your girl." That's it. That's the entirety of what we know from that moment in time. Darius Miles, if you remember, the basketball player, sees his friend stopped. He comes back. He diffuses the situation. Investigators say at that point that Darius Miles saw something in the car. Cedric Johnson says he was being passed food from the front seat to the back seat, because remember, Cedric Johnson is in the back seat. Darius Miles told investigators that he saw a gun.
All right, so Michael, we've got a situation where the two groups are interacting. We've got the basketball players walking past the Jeep. There's some disagreement, obviously, depending on who you're talking to about what was said in that moment, how intense it got. But like you just said, the key moment seems to be this movement, right? Inside the car, somebody passed something from the front seat to the back seat. Cedric Johnson, Jamia's boyfriend, he says it was food. They're eating those messy fries. But Darius Miles, again, he's the Alabama basketball player. He says it was a gun. And it's at this point where the other Alabama player, the freshman star Brandon Miller, he re-enters the story, right? He'd been with them in the line, he left, and now he's coming back. So what happens when Miller comes back into the story?
So Brandon Miller, if you remember, he left the line at 1225 because it was too long. He went to a restaurant, according to his attorney, Jim Standridge, And throughout the time that he was gone, Darius Miles had been texting him. According to Stanridge, he had started texting around midnight before they had even gotten in to 1225, but he had texted him, according to police testimony, at 102 and at 110, essentially asking the same thing, which is, hey, when are you coming to get me? Where are you? At 138, after they are walking away and after Darius Miles says he believes he saw a gun, and we know that there is a verbal altercation in front of this Jeep, Miles texted Miller again, asking him to bring Darius Miles' gun. And some guys were, quote, faking.
Miles texts Miller and he says, bring me my gun. And he says to Miller, the reason I need this gun is because some guys are faking. What does faking mean?
So Miles' lawyer, Mary Turner, had said during the hearing that she actually looked up a reference to faking on Urban Dictionary and that it means threatening.
I just want to focus on Brandon Miller for a second. Obviously, he's a big name, you know, the freshman star for the team. What do we know about his state of mind and what he knew as he came back to that scene?
We don't know a ton. It's unclear whether he saw the text. His attorney said he was already heading back to pick Miles up anyway. We do know Miles' gun was in the backseat. We do not know whether Brandon Miller knew there was a gun in the back of the car because it was concealed by things in Brandon Miller's back seat, believed to be clothing. So that is essentially what we know about what Brandon Miller knew in that moment.
What we do know for sure, though, is that the gun gets there, gets to the scene, right? So what happens next when Miller arrives back, Miles' gun is in the car, whether Miller knew or didn't know, we're not 100% sure, but what we do know for sure is that the gun is now there. So what happens next?
What happens is after the altercation, Cedric Johnson goes across the street, talks to three of his friends. Johnson then gets into the driver's seat and begins driving the Jeep. They make a right on University. Then they make a right into an alley right around a bar called the Houndstooth Bar. And the lights in the black Jeep are turned off. Now, as all of this is going on, there is also an unrelated fight going on behind the CVS, which is at the corner of University and Grace. And there's about 20 people involved in this fight, including Darius Miles, one of the basketball players, his girlfriend. This fight is making it hard for traffic to get down the street. In all of this, Brandon Miller pulls up and the Jeep containing Jamia Harris, Asia Humphrey, Cedric Johnson, pulls behind Brandon Miller's car.
Now, Michael, it's here where Darius Miles, the Alabama basketball player, and Michael Davis, Miles' friend, their movements become really important, right? Freshman Brandon Miller is pulled up in his car. What do Miles and Davis do next?
What happens at this point is Darius Miles goes on the back passenger side of the car. Michael Davis goes on the back driver's side. And they start rummaging through looking for something. And that something is a weapon. According to court testimony, either Davis or Miles tells the other the heat is in the hat. And then the question comes, is there one in the head? Meaning, is the gun loaded? And it is affirmed that it is loaded. It is not clear who said what to one another from court testimony.
And so Michael Davis and Darius Miles, they have the gun. Where do they go?
Darius Miles walks over to his girlfriend and moves her and her friend into the alley behind the Houndstooth parking lot. He then stops at both Bradley's car and Miller's car. Remember, the two Alabama basketball players. Checks in and then walks north down Grace Street. And at 1:45 a.m., and remember, this is only 8 minutes after Davis's first interaction with the group, with Davis dancing and Cedric Johnson getting a little annoyed. Michael Davis walks back onto Grace Street to the driver's side of the black Jeep where Cedric Johnson is. And almost immediately after Davis approaches the driver's side of the car, the first shot was fired. This is, again, where there's at least a little bit of question. Tuscaloosa police investigator Brandon Culpepper testified at the February 21st preliminary hearing that Davis fired first into the Jeep and that Cedric Johnson returned fire once Davis started shooting into the Jeep. The defense attorneys in this case will argue it is unclear who fired first between Davis and Johnson. Here's what we do know, though. One of the shots fired by Davis killed 23-year-old Jamia Harris.
We'll be right back.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Michael. So it sounds like it's just total bedlam on the strip near the University of Alabama. Gunshots have been fired. What is the immediate fallout? What's happening right after the shooting?
We do know, according to court testimony, that Davis does get injured. He gets hit in the shoulder. After those shots are fired, Davis runs across Grace Street into the alley behind the Houndstooth, and he was firing both into the black Jeep, as we mentioned before, and 2 shots also hit the windshield of Brandon Miller's car. A photo that was obtained by ESPN shows where those bullets hit Miller's car. One was in the bottom of the driver's right side, and one was in the middle of the passenger side.
Hold on a second, Michael. So Brandon Miller, he's Davis's friend, right? Like, this is an accidental shot at his car?
It's not entirely clear, but one would absolutely think that this was accidental because he's running away. He's running across the street. Remember, he has been injured as well. And he's just firing the gun seemingly erratically. 2 of these hit Brandon Miller's windshield, 1 in the bottom of the driver's side, 1 in the middle of the passenger side.
It seems like Miller was really lucky there, yeah?
Yes. My belief is that Brandon Miller is very fortunate to not have been injured or worse.
All right, so we've got chaos. We've got Davis firing his gun erratically, and Brandon Miller's car gets shot. He's fortunate to avoid injury. What happens next?
So Davis is running across Grace Street into an alley. Johnson and Miller both drive away. It's unclear where Brandon Miller went. Johnson, we do know, made a left on University Boulevard and stopped. This is where they encounter police. And at this point, Jamia Harris is dead in the front passenger seat of her Jeep. Now, Sam, police received multiple 911 calls about this shooting, but there was another 911 call as well. And that came from University Downs Apartments. According to testimony, Miles and his girlfriend picked up Davis at an intersection and drove him back to the apartment. Miles then called for a gunshot victim, and that gunshot victim was Michael Davis. When police arrived, Miles, and this is according to court testimony, said he was in his apartment when Davis showed up shot and didn't know how his friend was injured. And then again, this is according to police testimony. Miles' story morphed into that they were downtown together. And then again, according to police testimony, the final story was that he and his girlfriend were downtown, picked up Michael Davis after the shooting, but did not see the shooting.
So Darius Miles' story to police changes three times. When is he taken into custody?
Initially, Darius Miles was taken into custody as a witness. And then as more information came in, police started looking at him a little bit differently. In court testimony, it said that he was read his Miranda rights after they saw video from the Houndstooth pub. So it seems like at that point was when they started to consider maybe that they were going to charge Darius Miles with something as well.
So Michael, you and your team have gathered a ton of information here, and it paints as full a picture as possible of the night in question, but obviously there's still some information missing. Where did you guys run into some dead ends?
Well, Cedric Johnson did not appear at the February 21st preliminary hearing, and we tried to reach him for comment. He did not respond. Prosecutors have declined interview requests from ESPN. Alabama's men's basketball program did not make players available for interviews for 2 weeks until Wednesday, when, for the first time since that February 21st preliminary hearing, players were made available. One of those players was Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller was asked about what happened that night. He did not say much, as I think one would expect.
For Brandon, obviously, there's been some stuff happening off the court. Just, do you have any comment on that and how this has kind of transpired for you and dealing with it?
I never lose sight of the fact family has lost one of their loved ones that night. This whole situation is just really heartbreaking. Respectfully, that's all I'm going to be able to say about on that.
Now, lawyers for Davis and Miles have focused on three points within the timeline laid out by prosecutors and police during that preliminary hearing. One is Miles' motive for moving his girlfriend away from the area before the shooting, who fired the weapon first between Davis and Johnson, and intent. Now, when we're talking about the first part of that, with moving his girlfriend away, the defense will contend that Miles was moving his girlfriend away from the area because of the fight that was going on. Remember that unrelated fight in the back of the CVS that she was involved in? That fight. The police said in their testimony that he was moving her away from the scene of a shooting. The shooting, of course, had not occurred yet, but that was what they were saying. Now, during that February 21st hearing and in an interview, a defense attorney raised several questions about who fired the first shot, Johnson or Davis. Police have testified that Miles knew what Davis was going to do and it had been planned out, but the defense argued in testimony that Miles provided Davis the firearm, quote, for protection, unquote, not to shoot anymore.
Right, but Michael, despite those arguments from the defense in that preliminary hearing just a few days ago on March 10th, both Darius Miles and Michael Davis were indicted for capital murder by a grand jury. Both Miles and Davis are going to have separate trials, so we know it's going to take at least a few months until we know their fate. But I want to go back to Brandon Miller, Alabama star freshman, the team's about to play in the NCAA tournament. He was at the scene that night. What have university officials and attorneys for Miller said about his status with the team right now?
That he is an active member of their team. That is what they have decided. Now, Alabama athletic director Greg Byrne did tell ESPN on a College Game Day podcast interview the day after the preliminary hearing that they decided to keep Miller playing. And it was in consultation with their university president, Dr. Stuart R. Bell, the basketball coach, Nate Oates, university legal counsel, others at the school.
We have legal counsel involved for the university. We have different offices within the university that are at least aware of it. We had normal conversations like we do for other issues, and that information was shared collectively. And collectively, we decided that Brandon was able to play.
I think it's also important here that his attorney says that Brandon Miller never left his vehicle, never touched the gun, had no idea any illegal activity would occur. He has cooperated with police fully. Tuscaloosa Assistant District Attorney Paula Whitley has said to Alabama.com, there's nothing that Brandon Miller could be charged with. I think it's very important to say that again, because I know that has come up from other people. That is where the assistant DA stands when it comes to Brandon Miller. So Brandon Miller has been playing. Alabama has won the SEC regular season title, and they are the number one seed in the NCAA tournament this week.
Michael, obviously there's a lot of attention on the Alabama basketball players in this story, and I get it. I mean, they're the names. This is ESPN, but I keep thinking back to where we started and that FaceTime conversation, Jamia Harris and her mother, DeCarla Hurd, and her son, 5 years old, named Kane. What can you tell us about what's happened with Jamia Harris's son and her mom, who's now dealing with the reality that her daughter is gone?
Yeah, my colleague on this story, because I was part of a team that worked on this story along with Liz Merrill and Coley Harvey and Paula Levine. Liz Merrill spoke with DeCarla Hurd, who is Jamia Harris's mother, a couple of weeks ago. And she said that she had picked Kane, Jamia Harris's son. She had picked him up from school and Kane shocked her with a question he asked. Tell me how my mama died. And DeCarla Hurd didn't know what to say at first. She wondered why he had asked that. They had really tried to do a good job of shielding him from what was going on as they were trying to figure out the right time to tell him. Because, I mean, how do you find the right time to tell a five-year-old that his mother's dead? I don't think there's ever a right time. But eventually, she did sit him down and told him that his mommy, Jamia Harris, is an angel in heaven now and that she'd be with him every day. The next day, DeCarla Hurd inquired about grief counseling for her grandson. With the help of her husband, Kelvin, and friends that have been very supportive for both DeCarla and Kelvin, they've been managing. Kelvin's angry at Alabama basketball because they've never called to offer condolences, and he believes they've hollowly invoked his stepdaughter's name as an afterthought. DeCarla, she doesn't try to waste her energy on it. She goes between sadness and anger, but sticks to one focus, which is raising her grandson, the grandson that Jimmy Harris is no longer around to raise.
Michael Rothstein, this is a really remarkable piece of reporting from you and the rest of the team that you worked with, and an incredibly sad story. But thank you so much for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Sam Borden. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.